الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخلين. Not making dua is a sign of pride and arrogance. Making dua is a sign of humility, is a sign of one showing and expressing desperation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the one that doesn't make dua, Allah ta'ala doesn't love him. The very essence of ibadat is dua. In this dua, the spirit that is desired in dua is to have a constant feeling of desperation towards Allah Ta'ala all the time. Constant feeling of desperation. I'm desperate. Inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyu al-hamid. Allah Ta'ala's Zat and His being is totally different. Whether you worship Him or not, whether you obey Him or disobey Him, He is worthy of all praise. And He doesn't need your worship. Ghani, He doesn't need you. But you are desperately in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this feeling of desperation must be a constant feeling in a man. That's the desired thing. And that's the most desired thing. Not only desired, but the most desired thing. That constant feeling of desperation. Yesterday someone came and asked that when everything has been decreed and planned, then what's the need to make dua? So I had to explain him according to his understanding. I explained him, see, you came from that point to this point. From the outside, you came into the first surf. So coming into the first surf was already decreed and destined. It was destined that you'll come into the first surf. When it was destined for you to come into the first surf, then why did you walk from there and come here? So like it was destined for you to come, it was also destined that you will walk, you will make that initiative, and then you will reach there. So similarly is the position of dua. Allah Ta'ala has decreed and decided that a certain thing is for you. And it will come as a result of a dua. In the first case, your walking was the vehicle that brought you. In the second case, the dua is the vehicle that brought you. So here it was your walking and here it is your dua. So Allah Ta'ala wants that of you, that you keep on asking Him. From your heart, you keep on asking Him. Don't show at any time that you are independent. See, the hadith says, لَا تَتَمَنَّوْ لِقَاءَ الْأَدُوْ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ. They don't aspire to meet the enemy. You meet the enemy at the time of jihad, then don't aspire for this. Because you aspiring for this is indicative that you feel self-confident. You feel that you will be able to overwhelm. So this confidence on yourself and feeling that you will do things and you will make things happen, this is something that is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why amongst the great treasures of Jannah, very, very great treasure of Jannah, is the wording, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That good can only come your way with the will of Allah Ta'ala, and evil can only be averted by the will of Allah Ta'ala. So this is a great dua, a great blessing. this is teaching you that that came by the will of Allah Ta'ala. That went away, it went by the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You remove all that attribution to yourself. And I feel this dua is very great for several reasons. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is a very great dua. And it's a great dua for several reasons, several problems. It's a great, great dua. Imagine now the things, the thoughts of pride come into your mind. The thoughts of self-admiration come to your mind. Thoughts of self-achievement come to your mind. So the simple way to expel this, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, this that is seemingly to be my achievement is not from me, it's Allah Ta'ala's. Right? Like the light that you see on the wall is the reflection of the sun. Can the sun be proud about that light? The sun cannot be proud about the light. It's just a reflection of the sun that is on that wall. That wall is shining because of the reflection of the sun. So can the wall be proud about itself? Can't be proud. If the sun just moves away slightly, that wall is in total darkness. So Allah Ta'ala, His radiance, and His tajalli sometimes, it focuses towards you. So when that radiance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala focuses towards you, then you see yourself a learned person, you see yourself to be a strong person, you see yourself to be a wealthy person. But the moment He turns His attention away, then you finish. Nothing of you. Where's that learning? It's gone. Where is that beauty and respect? All gone. Where is that wealth? All gone. So it is that beauty, that radiance that has been reflecting towards you, that has been shining towards you, that has been seen. It's not you. It is a reflection. It's a beauty. If you can only understand this. So that is why this feeling of dependence, of desperation, feeling of dependence must be a constant feeling in you. Rather, I am dependent. I can't do without you. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So this is the cure for pride in one respect. That when you are stormed with this type of thoughts, it's my achievement and I did this and I did this, then simply in your mind just say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Sometimes your mind takes you on past failures, the past failures that you have. Yeah, had I not done this, then this would have not have happened. Because of this person, then my road to progress has been all blocked because of this person here. He's put the block on the way. He's put that obstruction on the way. Now if you continue with that thought, then it will bring you to depression. This person, this is what he did for me. This is what happened. So again, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Dispel that thought. You're going to continue, it's going to bring about depression. But you say, you know, it happened by the will of Allah Ta'ala. It came by the will of Allah Ta'ala. It went by the will of Allah Ta'ala. He is just one of the puppet in the whole work. He's just a means in the work. It was by the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that it came. By the will of Allah Ta'ala, it went away. See, so it's a cure for depression. Like it's a cure for pride, it's a cure for depression as well. As Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, would send out jamaats to various towns, villages, and they would return giving their kalguzaris. So one jamaat would come in and say that we worked in this area for such a long period. We did all the amal. We kept fast. We did all the amal. Sat in the masjid, cried to Allah Ta'ala, got up for tahajjud. And whatever was asked of us, we did everything. But it didn't change the village in any way. Not a single person came to the masjid. We sat there for 3 days, 5 days, we went there, we did all the amal, we visited, made all the sacrifice, but it didn't change them in any way. So Mawlana's reply to them was, have you done what you're supposed to be doing? Yes, I've done. We have done what we're supposed to do. Well, then don't worry about it. Your work was to do the work. Your work was not to give the hidayat. Then another jamaat will come and say, you know, we went into this area and that whole masjid was buzzing with activity. It was from the morning till the evening, so many crowds of people came, they attended the talks and they engaged in the amal, they gave in their names for 4 months and 40 days, whatever. So Muawiyah would reply to them, by the actual plane to work in is the people that are outside the masjid, not those that are in the masjid. You are watching and observing the people that have come into the masjid. Right? People that were supposed to come, they came. But those that are left outside the masjid, what have you done for them? Effort supposed to be directed on those people that are left, that are not coming to the masjid. So then Muna would say, Shaitan ke raah marne ke do surate hai. Shaitan destroys you, he destroys your path, he misleads you in these two ways. Sometimes he misleads you with depression. I work so hard, no result is forthcoming. Nothing. People are stone-hearted here, they are not responding at all. Absolutely stone-hearted rock. They don't have a heart in them. And the other way of destroying is through pride and arrogance. See, what an achievement. You have made so much progress and so many people are coming to the masjid. They're responding to our da'wat. So this is one way of shaitan's destruction and this is the other way of shaitan's destroying you. Both ways are destructive. You focus on the work. Forget the results. Don't put your sight, don't put your mind on the results. Put your mind on the work, what Allah Pak has commanded, you put your mind on that. The moment you're going to start looking at the results, what happened, and how much you've achieved, and what you have gained, you're out of the track, you're out of the course. It's going to mislead you. So the simple dua to make is La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, repeatedly. It happened by the will of Allah Ta'ala. And if it was a failure in the past, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah Ta'ala didn't destine it to happen, it didn't happen, finish. So your mind will not keep on troubling you now. Hey, you know, this problem came because of this person here. This person, he didn't play his role, therefore this problem came. Had he played his role, then there wouldn't have been any problem. But because he didn't play his role, therefore all this loss have come. So you will not get into a spell of depression. And you need both. You can't be proud and arrogant, and nor can you be depressed and despondent. So you see this dua, and Allah Ta'ala loves this dua. He loves it. And that is supposed to be the cornerstone of your life. Feeling of desperation, Allah Ta'ala, I need you at all times, any times. At the times of your joy, I need you, Allah Ta'ala. At the time of your grief and tragedy, Allah Ta'ala, I need you. Not that you only remember Him at the time of grief and you forget Him at the time of joy. No, that's the general feel. At the time of grief and pain, then you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You come, you see the examination time. Eh? Everybody is in the masjid, asking Allah ta'ala, making dua, requesting others for dua. Examination is over, and you've got a good report, then you forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes namaz is going, holiday now. Must chill down a little bit, must relax a little bit. So all that promises that you made just now, all is forgotten. نَسِيَ مَا كَانَ يَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. The du'as that you were making before, you have forgotten all that. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes it happens that whatever you ask for, you will definitely get. There are some moments, sometimes in the day, sometimes at night, but the heart that you're asking would, and the time that you're asking, and the words that you're asking with, it just gains reception by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just gains acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a man needs to be very, very cautious as to the use of his tongue, what he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you go on dua and there is a delay for the dua to materialize. So you begin to think now that dua, I can keep on making dua but my dua doesn't get accepted. So now this is indicative of the fact that this person's dua is not going to get accepted. Because Allah Ta'ala deals with you as per your expectation of Him. You feel that He's not going to answer your dua, then He won't answer your dua. But you feel that he's going to answer your dua, then he will answer your dua. The delay, in all cases, the delay is a blessing. Right? Sometimes you asked for that, say, 10,000 rands. Allah Ta'ala didn't give you 10,000 rands. But he gave you the tawfiq of reading your five-time namaz with jamaat. I wish to ask you, that can you attach a price to that five-time namaz that you read with jamaat? You ask for that 100,000 rand, you ask for 1 million rand, he didn't give you. You ask for that property, he hadn't blessed you with that property. But he allowed you not to miss any single roza of Ramadan. Can you attach a price to that? One roza of Ramadan, can you attach a price? No. He didn't give you this, he gave you something superior. The child asked the father for a lollipop. Father didn't give him a lollipop. He put 1 million rand in his account. Father, you're so stingy. I asked you for the lollipop. You never give me. The child doesn't know. 2-year-old, 3-year-old child, what it means to put 1 million rand into the child's account. He doesn't know. If he only knew, he won't cry. Because in the 1 million rand, he can buy 1 million lollipops. He can buy the lollipop for the whole Natal he can buy, perhaps. So much of lollipops he can buy. But he doesn't know. Because he doesn't understand, therefore his crying is making you a cry. Because he doesn't understand what that million rand is. So Allah Ta'ala gave you the tawfiq to perform your namaz with jamaat. Or Allah Ta'ala saves you from some calamity, major calamity. It could have happened that you could have fallen in some evil habits, in some drugging, or your children could have fallen. So you made dua for something. Allah Ta'ala didn't give you that, but he protected your honor, your integrity, the integrity and the respect of your children. Can you see this thing? So sometimes, whatever you ask, Allah Ta'ala grants. Sometimes it is exactly what you are asking for, sometimes it is something better than what you had asked for. But in that transitory period, one is not supposed to get frustrated. Just go and ask, keep on asking. Without asking Allah Ta'ala, why is there a delay? Just go on asking. And ask with sincerity, ask with earnest, ask with the feeling of desperation, Allah Ta'ala, I need you, I'm helpless, I need you. Just keep on asking. Don't you now get anxious and hurry for the thing to materialize. Just go on asking. It will come in its own time. How it will come and when it will come, that don't worry about it. That will come in its own time, in its own way it will come. But what you do is you keep on engaging in dua. And the dua doesn't have to be a formal dua. You are walking, you can make dua. You are driving the motor car, you can make dua. In your heart, you can make dua. Verbally, you can make dua. You don't have to make in any particular wording. Carry on making dua. So this is the one thing that we miss out in dua, is that feeling of desperation. And that feeling that we are not supposed to be asking why and when. Don't ask why and when. How it will happen, don't ask all that. It will happen in its own way. It will happen in its own time. But you do what you need to do. Don't become frustrated and don't become agitated why the dua isn't being answered. The second thing that we need to understand is the aspect of halal. In this area also, we become very, very relaxed. Man says, I got a million rand interest. Can you sort it out for me? We readily begin to say, no, hey, we'll sort it out for you. Don't worry. But if that man came to you and told you that I had a pig farm, I sold it, I got a million rand, you'll take it. You'll take it as an insult. Won't you take it as an insult? That of all type of money, this piggery money is sending it to me. But if he talks about interest, then you get interested. Right? So why is the change of attitude? Whereas the hadith speaks about interest, that one dirham of interest that you have taken, 10 rands of interest that you have taken, is worse than 36 times zina. You know, zina, how severe that crime is. someone rapes some girl or something, for the rest of time you'll talk about, hey, this man, you can't trust him, even if this with this girl. But if he did that 36 times, how much worse it will be? So interest is much worse. But now we attach an importance to this and we get disinterested in that. So this is the second area that blocks your du'as from getting answered. The money, the wealth that is being produced, that wealth is not right. There's some problem with the du'a. As a result of that wealth. There was a king in Afghanistan, Shah Abdul Rahman. So he had sent his child on jihad in a certain area. And the news came to him that the child has been defeated. So it's a dark day, a day of darkness, of grief. But as he comes, the Shah Abdul Rahman, as he comes to his wife, the queen is in all cheers, she's not showing any grief. So he's surprised that it's a day of darkness, day of distress, and you're not showing any distress, no, you're showing cheer, there's happiness on your face, what's wrong? Don't worry about it, no, it can't, you have to tell me. There can't be a secret that the husband and the wife do not share, they must share all the most well-kept secret, they must share with each other. So she says, you see the son of yours that has gone out in jihad. When I was conceived with this child of yours, I made a solemn vow from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm not going to take any cent from the public treasury. The king, the ruler, he's allowed to take from the treasury because he's working for the state. But she made it a vow that now I'm going to work myself with the sweat of the brow. I'm going to make some wealth and I'm going to feed this child. From that day, I used to sew knit hats and whatever else I used to do, but I used to produce some money, and I made sure that whatever was going into my system at the time that you were conceived was nothing but halal. Absolutely halal. Not an iota of doubt. I was so sure about it. So the child that was nurtured with halal all his life, I can't imagine the child to be a loser. He'll be a winner wherever he goes. Allah Pak will help him. My du'as are with the child. And the child's system, his system is pure of anything that is contaminated, polluted and haram. He's absolutely clean. So he'll come with a clean sheet, he'll come winning. The king says, but from all four sides we are hearing of defeat, 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 defeat. And you, there's one auntie here, and you making this type of claims. Alright, you can believe what you want to. Just about a week passed, and then the news came in that prince had really won, and each town that he's passing by, they are celebrating his victory. See, this is halal. That is why you would see in the early days, masjids were simple, madrasas were simple, people were simple. The masjid was simple, madrasa was simple, maktab was simple, and people were simple. They were leading contented lives. That little that they spent, they achieved a lot, little they spent. Because they earned little, and they gave with that good heart in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a lot was achieved. A lot was achieved. You see a simple man, little earnings, and he went for Hajj. Right? In his return, he's a totally different person. Totally different person. His ways are different. His behavior is different. His conduct is different. Mannerisms are different. Everything is different. See, it was just halal. Nothing else but halal that he was working with. So that halal, it leaves its mark. Now, you're going for Hajj upon Hajj, Umrah upon Umrah, but you don't see the difference in the individual. No difference. When we have forgotten to distinguish between halal and haram, and we made the wealth the qibla, we made it the goal, we made it as though that's the God, we must just worship it. Whichever way wealth will increase and multiply, just employ that method. So wealth has become, the Qibla, it has become the direction, it has become the God. As though you began to worship it. When you began to worship it, then Allah Pak shows you that hollowness of that wealth. Again I say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Your mind will take you in different directions. If I don't have this, what will happen? If I don't have a policy, what will happen? Again, repeat that. See, there's so many isms and so many thoughts in these days that very easily a person can get lost. If I don't have a policy, I don't have this backup, I don't have this insurance cover, what will happen to me? What will happen to my children? But the more you repeat this, you will find that there's a solution. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah Pak, good will come and wrong and problems will be avoided by you. You will do it. So you will do it. See? So, this is a second thing that is the most effective ingredient in the acceptance of dua, that is halal. No matter how much the person brings, madrasa is running simply, and it's only run with halal. It seems as though the ustad are not getting enough, but they're running with halal. You will see that there is happiness in that madrasa. You will see there is production in that madrasa. The production is coming out right. You'll see this happiness within the team, within the people, within the children, within the students, is happiness. Why? It's only halal that you're working with. It seems that the building doesn't seem to be right, the clothing don't seem to be right, the food don't seem to be right. But this happiness that is generating right throughout that atmosphere. Why? It's only halal that you're working with. So when there's only halal, it's only good and only pure, then only pure will come out. Then the one person that is produced, he's enough for 1,000 people sometimes, sometimes 10,000 people, one person is sufficient. He's servicing so many people. You packed in so much into that person, just through that halal, so much was packed into him, that he in himself, he is sufficient for such a huge crowd of people. So this is that barakat, this is that power, and this is that effect of halal. So the dua, you want the dua to materialize, you want the dua to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one thing is, don't become frustrated. Don't become too hurried and excited for the materialization of the dua. Just take it in the stride. Your work is to just ask Allah ta'ala with a constant feeling of desperation, with the deep conviction that He will answer. Not only with desperation, but with the conviction that He will answer. When and how He's going to answer, He will answer it. Don't worry about the when and how and when. Don't worry about that. But you keep asking Him. And the second thing is this aspect of halal. The more you can content yourself with halal, and that being content with halal can only happen if your gaze is Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you'll make it happen. You ask me to earn, so I'm earning. But to make things work, that's your work. That's your department. That you can do it. I won't be able to do it. You look at the Sahaba Ikram, they were ill-equipped people, ill-equipped. وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ ill-equipped. Battle of Badr, and you hear 7 swords, so many horses, nothing there. Ill-equipped, and they got so much of power. 1,000 people, they could vanquish them, they could completely annihilate them. How? It's halal. You're hearing of the Sahaba Kiram, one khajur or 2 dates, and the whole day they're fighting. Khajur and water, 2 days and 3 dates. What happened to you now? They say, dehydration. You need to hydrate yourself. That's what they'll say today, isn't it? So, this halal has got a power of its own. It's got the strength of its own. Standing in the sun, we were just now there. The temperature was going to 47 degrees. Then you think of the Sahaba Ikram, how they worked, how they fought in that conditions. 47 degrees they're fighting. Horseback or camelback. One had they got the shield, one had they got the sword and they're fighting. So where they got that strength from? The strength is from halal. So these 2 things if you can learn, one is you keep on making dua, don't become frustrated. Don't become hurried. With conviction that Allah is going to answer the dua. And the second is, content ourselves with halal. And the third, I explained, the thing that will make it very effective is repeat these words here, whether mentally or verbally. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Kanzum min kunuzil jannah. It is amongst the treasures of Jannah. It's a great treasure, very, very great treasure, but we don't realize the power of this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah ta'ala tawfiq.